Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan on the Odyssey iHeart and TuneIn apps.
All right, 9:03, McMonagle here with you. I'm filling in for Keith. I got you for another 3 hours on our ride to midnight. We're going to take a break from the calls for a second. We're going to welcome in Kevin Kiernan, columnist of Ball 9. Here we'll talk a little baseball, little Mets and Yankees. We've been talking about them for the first couple hours of the show, obviously. Day off today. Don't have to worry about them losing as of right now. And two big series coming up against Milwaukee. On the road, the Mets an opportunity to take on the best team in baseball, and the Yankees welcome in the nemesis Friday night at Yankee Stadium as the Houston Astros come to town. But we'll talk to Kevin here for a little bit. Kevin, how are you? Thank you very much for your time. Chris McMonagle here. Nice to talk to you.
Yeah, great to be with you, Chris.
I appreciate the time. All right, so let's start with the Yankees. We'll get to maybe the Mets a little bit later. Obviously, a disastrous road trip coming off of a really positive, for me, the three-game winning streak against Tampa Bay, a deadline that I thought addressed a lot of the issues, particularly in the bullpen, a disastrous three-game stretch in Miami, and then followed by just, you know, devastating losses in Texas as well. I'm reading your articles. Looking at some of the articles you've written for Ball 9, I know you feel that, you know, Aaron Boone is kind of allowed to do whatever he wants. Let me just ask you, do you think this win on the other day had any impact into how the team feels, or is there any noise that's calmed down a little bit, or is it just one off win and they have to play better on Friday?
Well, first off, your point on accountability, I agree with the whole 100%.
Okay.
You know, that's a very important point, but there's a difference between accountability and looking the other way. Mm-hmm. And I think if you look the other way, you create other problems. And also, I was there, you know, covering for the Post all those years, those things that you mentioned that happened. And, you know, those guys, they needed to be called out. It didn't work out. But my problem with the Yankees has been that it's too much of accepting something that's not right.
Right.
And I will say this, though, getting back to the question about the win was huge because I look at that as an accountability win. And now, what are you saying, Kevin, here? It's accountability because Boone went out there with Bednar and basically said, you know, he was ready to take him out. I think a little bit of that was for show. He wanted the guy to say what
sure.
he said. But he let him stay out there for 42 pitches.
Right.
And for 42 pitches, he basically showed, this was an accountability on grit, G-R-I-T.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Yankees have been missing.
Yeah.
Grit. Maybe you're not at your best. Maybe things are going wrong. But dig a little deeper. You know, don't let things sway you. Don't get doubled off first and pop up
right.
to second base.
Of course.
Don't throw the ball to first. Don't. And here's the point that nobody else made on that whole thing with Jazz. Earlier in the week, he made the same play from a defensive standpoint. He caught a ball and whipped the ball over to first, and the guy standing on first and he threw it away for an error. Mm-hmm. So that's a double. You know, that's two major mistakes. Mm-hmm. You can't look the other way on that. So I think by leaving Bednar in, that sent a message. Team, and it certainly sent a message to Devin Williams, like,
sure,
okay, enough with the antics. We don't care about the beards anymore. You may not like it, things like that, blah, blah, blah. We're here to win games any way we can, and let's get a little tougher as a team. And I think that was the message, and that's a good message. And now they got to back it up with the Astros. You know, the Astros are winning despite all kinds of injuries. They mm-hmm. play with grit. So it'll be a fun series. So that's my read on Boone. It's too much kumbaya. Marshmallow cooking.
Yeah.
Let's get it done. Let's get it done. So I think he has made mistakes, but that was good what he did yesterday.
Sure. And let me ask you this then, because I think that is the narrative. I think you share it with almost all Yankee fans about the, you know, the kumbaya and the milk and cookies is a comment that's thrown a lot on social media. I definitely think there's something to that. Do you also think, though, that because as we watch this team, to me, it's a lot of pressing and too tight. It's a lot of guys trying to make too many plays. It's trying to steal third base with two outs. It's trying to make that big play. It's trying to overcome the idea that they've been struggling for the last month. And as much as they tell you they'll be fine, and the Mets have, you know, has given some of that same messaging that we're fine, the offense is fine, we believe in these guys. And as much as they might say that, internally, it's almost as if I think they're the complete opposite, where I don't think they're making mistakes necessarily because they think Boone allows it, which I don't disagree with how he's handled it, makes it feel that way. I also think it's just these guys are pressing because they recognize the season's kind of falling apart. And sometimes with all the pressure and everything going on around the Yankees, they're desperate to turn this thing around and they make too many mistakes trying to do too much.
Well, the most dangerous player is a player who thinks he can do too much and make too much. Even going back to, you know, the joke used to be with Murphy, Daniel Murphy. He thought he was invisible on the bases, right? Remember that?
Yes.
Well, that's because he thought he could do all this stuff. And same thing with the Yankees. But it's a weird combination with the Yankees because, yes, Jazz, when he said Jazz was going to try, just trying to make a play, my head almost blew off because there's no play to be made there, to your point.
Yeah.
You can't, that is doing too much. The yips that we're seeing with Volpe, that's too much.
Mm-hmm.
But I think these, but the other things too, the Wells forgetting the outs, that's not too much. That's just losing your head in the game after you're bunted a second.
Yep.
Vivas being thrown out of third. Does he not know Acuna has a cannon?
Yep.
I mean, come on. So it's a weird combination of trying to do too much and also not having your head in the game.
Yeah.
When you don't have your head in the game at that level, you're asking for trouble. And I think I said it the day it happened, and then Jazz bounced back with a home run and some other things. You're seeing a little different Jazz now. He's a little bit more focused. And that's what I think the deal is. You got to get them back to being focused.
Right.
And if you don't do that, you're screwed. And, you know, as for the Mets, they got many other problems, too. So,
yeah.
But the good news is, Chris, nobody's any good.
Yes.
The good news is
that is the good news.
I'd be shocked if the Yankees or Mets don't make the playoffs. So this is a buildup now. You have time now to fix it, get it right, get to the playoffs, show some guts.
Right.
The Red Sox bounced back from a gutless period.
Yeah.
And now they're playing hard. It can be done because nobody's any good. I don't know if you saw some of the Dodgers highlights the other day.
Oh.
They throw the ball around like it's a T-ball.
Yeah. I felt like saying that. Like, I wonder what the scouting report on the Dodgers is right now because they throw the baseball around. I don't know if they play baseball too good at the moment.
No, and I pointed this out 5 years ago. And I've been on the same bandwagon. People are coming to my side now. But I said 5 years ago, you watch. All the nerd GMs are going to turn all the teams into bad teams, and then they're going to just bounce it around. And that's where we're at right now. So it's a zig when they zag thing now. You have to start doing baseball fundamentals to the best you can do them. And that means working extra, doing the things that are right. Thinking about the play. You know, Jeter, I had Jeter all those years. He always knew the play he was going to make. And he could react to any play because he had everything went through his head.
Yeah.
I don't know what some of the Yankees are thinking about.
Yeah.
But also, when they lose their compass, they lost their compass in Aaron Judge for a week or two, and then you saw it all go kabooey.
Yeah.
So with him back now, that'll help a little bit. And I know people say he's not a fire and brimstone leader, but he can look at you and you better get your act together, leader. So
yeah.
I think it's on the upswing. And don't forget, too, the Twins are coming in after this, so that's another gift.
Yeah, I mean, listen, they always beat the Twins, let alone when they sell away the entire team, so hopefully that will be a good series for them, too. Yeah, so speaking about Judge real quick, what do we think of he's already having catch. I think they've said that he's not going to play the outfield this series. There's some thought that he could possibly play it against the Twins. That seems early to me, too. How do you think they handle this? Because it's a weird, you know, you want to get Stanton in the lineup. He's having arguably one of the better stretches in the regular season that he's had as a Yankee. That's how good he's been over the last 3 weeks or so. You want him in the lineup. You need Judge in the outfield, but it's also risking injury. Like, where do we see this outfield and Judge going? Where does the situation go right now? How careful are they going to be? How aggressive are they going to be? How do you think this shakes out?
Well, you can't be super aggressive here because if the arm blows out, you're dead.
Yeah.
So you got to take your chances here. You give the big boy talk to Stanton because you're 100% right. When Stanton's hot, man, you gotta ride him.
Yeah.
You gotta ride him, get him in there as much, and take those at bat. You can't stick him in left field. Left field's very difficult. It's much harder than right field. So you just put him out in right field. You basically, like, you know, we're going back to Little League here, Chris. You put the big boy out in right field, say, don't get hurt, don't run into your second baseman.
Right.
Just make the plays, get the ball in.
Yeah.
And then we'll take care of it offensively. Let Judge heal. I wrote this column about 2 weeks ago, and I had these conversations with Judge when I was there. They missed a golden opportunity with Judge, and I hope they do it this year. I'm giving your listeners a heads up for next year.
Yeah.
He's got to go to first base.
Yeah, we've been talking about
it. Base.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I wrote that. You know, I wrote it years ago.
Yeah.
And I talked to Judge about it. He would gladly go to first. That would have saved the whole Rizzo problem. It would have saved Goldsmith's doing okay, but it would have saved having to find another first baseman.
Sure.
So make sure next year you get ahead of the problem. Put him at first base. Volpe can't throw anything away to that guy. So that's a plus, too.
You'd be surprised. I think that does make sense. It also, I mean, not to get too much into next year, but it would open up the outfield for Bellinger and Tucker if they wanted to do that, if they were so inclined.
You fix the Yankees in one move. Judge does the first year. He played it all throughout high school. He played a little bit in college. Mm-hmm. You get Kyle Tucker, boom, all of a sudden you're back to being the Yankees.
Yeah, all right, we're talking to Kevin Kiernan, columnist for Ball 9. Another Yankee question. We'll turn to the Mets in a second here. We mentioned Devin Williams, and obviously, you know, to me, and you know, I'm a bit more of a Boone defender than most. Even I could not understand. Going to him is one thing. I sort of understood going to him a little bit. At least I could understand. You know, you have Leiter coming back from they haven't pitched in a month. You know, you can't just never throw the dude. They're scoring zero here. It's not crazy, but not pulling him is crazy. So I think we all established that. I don't understand why he did what he did. But moving forward now with him, you know, I kind of gave Boone and the Yankees a lot of credit last year when they pulled Clay Holmes from the closer role, sticking with him, continuing to pitch him, continuing to even throw him in high leverage situations down the stretch. And then they got a very productive, useful pitcher in the postseason, 9 scoreless innings to start his postseason run. Do you think that that is something they envision here, or are they just done with Devin Williams, who just looks like he doesn't enjoy being a Yankee?
He doesn't enjoy being a Yankee, but that's life. He's got to live with it the rest of the year. And Boone's strategy, and you can see it how he does things, he's not an in-your-face guy. So he's going to let you blow up, lose the job, and then hope that you come back psychologically stronger from that.
Okay.
So now I think what you're going to see Bednar be the closer, but also you're going to still see some fines when they go to Devin Williams.
Yeah.
You know, I had Trevor Hoffman when I lived in San Diego for 10 years and covered the Padres. And when Trevor saw a changeup started to go, it was very dangerous. When closers who are changeup guys, their pitch starts to go. Very dangerous.
Yeah.
So that's where we are with Devin Williams right now. Going back to the Alonso home run, that had to be in his head as well. So this guy, Devin Williams, has to make the adjustment now.
Yeah.
Devin Williams has to. What we were talking about, grit. He's got to use the fastball more. I also think he throws his changeup. There's such a disparity between his changeup. You can sit on the changeup and crush it, and that's what they're doing. So he needs to throw the changeup a little harder. I think if he does that, then I think you can salvage Devin Williams. And then if everything goes well, then all of a sudden you may have that eighth inning guy, right, and also the guy when Bednar's down. Because there's going to be, I'm telling you right now, I know a lot of people in Pittsburgh, Bednar's a gutsy guy. He'll go through, but there's going to be games where he comes in and gives up 2 home runs, and you're going to say, what the hell happened?
Yeah.
You know, so it's a little bit of a tightrope the rest of the year, but I think he needs them both, and he realizes that. And by pointing out to Williams, like, hey, you're not really this good right now, without him saying that, but showing him that, that will hopefully spur some kind of reemergence.
All right, let's hope. Talking to Kevin Kiernan, columnist of Ball 9. Let's switch to the Mets right now, who, I mean, the pitching is an issue with the amount of innings, although they did load up the bullpen. But to me, when you talk about the Mets' struggles here, it starts with what the owner coined the Fab Four. The top of the order, Juan Soto being namely one, although, you know, his numbers are still, you know, very good for the average Major League Baseball player. They're down for Juan Soto, and he has been, you know, just not nearly as clutch as we have seen him in a Yankee uniform, in a Nationals uniform. 26 home runs, 20 of them solo home runs. What's going on with this Met offense, especially the top guys who get paid a lot of money to be the driving force of this team, just really being non-productive here for a long stretch?
Well, I'm going to start with Lindor. Remember Lindor last year? I crushed him after the statue. The strikeout statue where he just stood there.
Yeah.
And he took strike 3. He's in that same frame of mind. I think he went to the All-Star game so pumped up. He's a hug me guy. You know, I got to hug every opponent. Got to do this. Got to do that.
Yeah.
He talk about losing your focus. He loses it, man. And then all of a sudden he's trying to jack a home run. This guy's throwing 126 pitches yesterday. You get up in a game where you're still trying to win. You're not just trying to break up a no hitter.
Yeah.
And you're swinging from your butt on a breaking ball that he's been throwing all day.
Yeah.
So Lindor is in this. He's in Lindor world, is what I call it right now. He needs to get back to being in team world where he does have skills. He this is another guy, getting back to your point earlier about trying to do too much.
Yeah.
You know, he thinks he's a home run hitter. He's got to realize who he is. As for Soto, totally different situation. Soto, to me, and I said it from day one, he's not comfortable there yet. It's going to take a while. What did he do all off season? He visited everybody. He celebrated with other teams that wanted to have him. He didn't have his normal off season of work.
Right.
So I knew he was going to come in slow this year, a little bit overweight. I thought, you know, the outfield was a little bit ugly. And that throw yesterday, more than anything else, that throw he made yesterday really was terrible because he just lobbed it in.
I agree with you. A lot of people thought the guy's going to go to third base. Yeah, I agree with you. A lot of people talking about the hustle after the ball. I thought the nonchalant throw was much more egregious.
No, it was the throw. Baseball's a sport of anticipation. You know, I'm one of a few writers who actually played it through college, so I understand the game pretty good. When you lose your look ahead and your anticipation, you create all kinds of issues for yourself. That's what Lindor's done. The second part of the problem here, and this is a deep dive here. Lindor loves Pat Rosler. Pat Rosler is the Yankees' assistant hitting coach. Great hitting coach. Mm-hmm. Yankees are lucky to have him. Pat Rosler was Lindor's hitting coach also in Washington. The first thing I looked for when the Yankees played the Mets, I watched behind home plate. Who did when the two teams came out? Juan Soto made a beeline to Pat Rosler.
Oh, Soto.
And he talked hitting with him. So Pat Rosler was his kind of like security blanket. And again, they can still all talk and everything like that, but he doesn't have that same feel with the Mets coaches. And that's nothing against the Mets coaches.
Sure.
I've known Eric Chavez since he played forever. Matter of fact, Eric Chavez's wife, mom, was my daughter's cafeteria, in charge of the cafeteria where my daughter went to high school out in California. So great guy, great, you know, .339 on base percentage when he played and things like that.
Yeah.
6 gold gloves, did everything right. So I'm not ripping Chavez. All I'm saying is Soto is one of those guys he's got to feel comfortable. He hasn't hit that comfort zone yet with the Mets. He's kind of like still on the outside looking in. He needs to get it together where, hey, he needs the role. I'm $765 million guy. I'm the guy. It runs through me. Pete did all the work early in the year, saved the Mets. I said it right from the beginning. The guy they didn't want saved them.
Yeah.
So, you know, how long can he carry it on? And as for Pete's mental thing, you can just see Pete's like thinking, man, I don't know if I want to stay here. And, he talks about it being a bridge contract. A bridge too far, maybe. So there's a lot of mental. The good news for the Mets, it's mostly mental, not physical.
Right.
So if Lindor can get his act together, Soto can step up and, you know, act like the man, and also get that kind of feedback from his teammates and things. And then Alonso just be himself. He's done a great job hitting the ball the other way this year. Alonso gets in trouble when he tries to do too much. Back to your main point. It's such a great point. And that's the key to baseball. So that's what I see what's going on with those three. Nimmo's Nimmo. He's going to run hot and cold. He's selling out for the home run now. I'd rather see Nimmo go back to being hit the ball the opposite way.
Yeah, and get on base.
And I think get on base. You know, I talked to Brandon about this through the years, too. There were years where he had 3 stolen bases. I said, Brandon, you're the fastest guy out here. What the hell are you doing? You know, so with these new rules, and the Mets are great at it. They're great at it. They've had, like 30 straight stolen bases.
Yeah.
But they can do it almost every time. So I think sometimes in a season, there's a natural low when you hit this point. It's not just dog days, but it's like psychologically you kind of get beat up, and you have to. Then you got to really put pedal to the metal. The Mets are getting to that point. I think both teams are with these weekend games. I mean, this is a big weekend in Milwaukee. And Pat Murphy, God bless him, a great manager, accountability. He has his guys playing right. You cannot. And the other thing too, say what you want about the Guardians. I made fun about them all year because they don't. You know, how the hell do they hit? They hit .228, but they run the bases well. They press you. Teams that pressure the Yankees, teams that pressure the Mets have success. So that's what the Yankees and Mets both have to fix defensively.
Yeah, I mean, how do you think the third base situation is shaking out with the Mets right now? What do you like? Because
not happy with it.
No, I know. I'd like to see. I'm wondering if we're going to see more Mauricio. Because you'd love to see Vientos trade Mauricio. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody in the world wanted Mauricio. Every scout I talked to, they all wanted Mauricio.
Yeah.
So that tells me right then and there. You know who's got to want Mauricio now? The Mets got to want him.
Yeah.
You know what? You put him out there, send him out there and say, kid, it's yours, and use the other guys here and there, keep him happy, when pinch it, whatever. But Mauricio, to me, he seems to be more of a long-term answer than any other guys, and now's the time to start working on that because I think that kid's got tremendous skills. And also, I'm a big fan of big third basemen, what they can do physically. And this kid can hit. You know, You know, the Yankees have cleaned up third base with McMahon defensively, still going to strike out a ton, so it's still an issue for them. But third base has got to be fixed. Third base has got to be a producing position, and they're not getting it right now.
So it sounds like you kind of, although they've played so poorly and there's plenty of issues, you're feeling fairly positive about both these teams and both these rosters. Like, because that was my question. With the, I know the Mets, we feel that they're a solid roster. The bullpen now with Diaz at the back, you feel good about it. The Yankees have really struggled. Even the Yankees, you feel overwhelmed. You feel pretty positive about them moving forward here?
I feel there's no way in the world they could possibly miss the playoffs.
Okay.
And then it's all a question of getting it together. Now, as for the Mets, I think the Mets have big problems when they match up against, like, the Phillies and things like that, with that starting pitching.
Yeah.
But my whole thing is I feel good enough that they're good enough to make the postseason and then go from there. But if they want to do damage in the postseason, both teams got to clean it up 100% and got to find a new way to do it. And because right now they're just, they're it's like one of my scout friends told me earlier in the year, I said, what kind of year do you think it's going to be? I mean, we're talking Mets and Yankees. Mm-hmm. He says it's going to be a roller coaster year. It's like going to, Disney World. You know, they're going to be up, they're going to be down. They're going to be up, they're going to be down. And that's exactly what we've seen. And getting back to your point about pitching, I think that was a good point. I don't want to overlook it.
Sure.
I think the Mets let themselves short in the starting pitching.
Yeah.
And it's going to come back to haunt them. It's going to come back to haunt them, especially when you get to all the big teams. But, I feel good because everybody else thinks. That's why I feel good.
Well, and then just talking to Kevin Kiernan, Ball 9. Last question then just for the Yankees, because I was looking through some of your last articles and Cashman and Boone, obviously. If it doesn't go well, right? I think this roster is good enough, but obviously Cashman's been here for a long time. You've been around here long. You know the Steinbrenners. Is there an appetite at all if this season goes poorly in making major changes that the fans would want? Or is this just... it's going to continue on. He's comfortable with Brian Cashman. This is the way it's going to be for the New York Yankees. Is there a way of, if this goes poorly, the Yankees making the changes that many would deem necessary?
Only if Randy Levine got involved. Hal doesn't know anybody in baseball. I've said this many times before. Hank, I was very close to. Hal doesn't let anybody get really close to him. Hal gets all his information from Cashman and people in the Yankee organization.
Right.
So he's not... he doesn't have the tentacles outside the organization to know that this guy's good, that guy's good, where do I go from here? So I think he's got to lean on Cashman so much. And Cashman is such a survivor, I would see Boone going before Cashman.
Yeah.
And that's the way I see it going out. Now, if I'll tell you what, though, if I'm Hal and they don't make the playoffs this year with this watered-down playoff system, they're both out, no doubt in my mind. They're out. And I think there'll be such a cry from the Yankees and from you guys, talking to the fans every day. Because once you take away hope, and that's what you're doing, basically, if you don't make the playoffs and you got to go into this, we got to go through this whole thing again next year. And the best we can hope for is a fifth inning meltdown like we did against the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the danger. And then all of a sudden the fans, I got to tell you, for a few days there, I couldn't even watch a Yankee game because I was just tired of the same old crap.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm sure a lot of Yankee fans will say the same thing. So even Yankee fans need the reboot. So if I'm Hal, I start reaching out to people throughout baseball just to get, I'm not saying who's going to replace these guys, but hey, what do you think I'm doing here wrong? Because these owners talk to one another. Not that any of them are super bright, but you got they're bright making money, but they're all numbers guys. So they don't understand the game, Chris. Yeah. That's the problem. They don't get the game.
Yeah.
They don't get the nuances of the game. Some of them do. Dombrowski does in Philly. You know, his owner gets it too. They still got issues, but look what they did. They went out and got the best closer. And say what you want about Harrison Bader. Comes to play every day.
Yeah.
He's changed his swing, but he's got a little more power. So that's what Hal's got to do. Real quick, I did a story on Hank and Hal way back when. And I asked Hal, Hal, what's the difference between you and Hank? And he said, well, here's the difference. And I like Hal, nice guy. And he said, when my dad would bring the Notre Dame football team over, Hank would be in the backyard throwing a football with him. I would get on my bike with all my Star Wars toys on it and ride around the neighborhood. That's the difference between the two. Hank was a go-getter, get-in-your-face guy. Hal's an overview pilot type guy. So Hal needs to kind of – Jenny is a lot like her father, and she's been down there this week, so I think that's very interesting too. She's much more like the boss than anybody else. So I think there's probably conversations between her and Hal. So I do think there is pressure on Cashman and Boone right now.
All right. Well, Kevin Kiernan of Bull Nine, thank you very much for a few minutes. I appreciate it. Thank you for their conversation. Some good stuff in there. So I really appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your night, man. Thank you.
Okay, Chris. Thanks.
All right. Be well. All right. That's Kevin Kiernan, columnist of Bull Nine. Gave you some good stuff there. I do think, listen, I thought the noise was loud enough where maybe Boone was in trouble if they lost that game in Texas. I really did. If they would have come back off of a 6-game losing streak to go take on the Astros out of the postseason playoff position, I think it could have got loud enough. And I absolutely think that if they don't make the playoffs, there's going to have to be changes. I don't know about Cashman, but Boone for sure.